And please take your
1 Corinthians chapter 11. We'll be reading verses 23 to 26, and our sermon will mainly be from verse 26. This is the holy and inspired word of the Lord. First Corinthians 11, verse 23. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, "Take, eat, this is my body, which is broken for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes." Let us pray. Father God, now we come to the preaching of your word as we continue to worship you. We ask, Father, now that you would withhold the evil one and keep him back from distracting us. We ask, Father, that you'd give us ears to hear and eyes to see the Lord Jesus Christ in the preaching of your word. Be with those, Lord, who hear it and minister to them through your Holy Spirit. We ask in Jesus' name, amen. We know that God uses all kinds of ways to communicate with people. He uses his creation. Jesus used birds and nests and foxes' dens to teach a scribe about the cost of following Jesus, who had nowhere to lay his head. Jesus used the cursing of a fig tree as a means to show judgment. He also used the beauty of the lilies of the field and the care of sparrows to show how much more God cares for us than he does for these things which he has made. And in the Old Testament, we see all kinds of dramatic portrayals of sin and judgment. We think of the prophecy of Jeremiah, where that book is filled with dramatic demonstrations which God used to speak to his people about the judgment that was coming because of sin. In Jeremiah chapter 13, you can go back and read this later, verses 1 to 11, Jeremiah was told by the Lord to put on an undergarment close to his skin. And then after some time, God came back to him and said, "Take that undergarment and go throw it under some rocks." And then later he had him go back to that garment, which was over time through weather and sun now ruined, to illustrate that God had called Judah to cling to him like this undergarment, but now because of their sin, they were ruined because of their idolatry. In Jeremiah 18, God used the activity of a potter who was fashioning a clay pot. But as he did, it was marred, and so he destroyed it and reshaped it into another one to show Israel that God had complete power and control over them and that he would make them as he saw fit. Jeremiah 19, Jeremiah was told by the Lord to take an earthen flask before the people and shatter it into pieces on the ground to demonstrate his wrath and his judgment upon them. In Ezekiel 4, verses 1 to 4, God told Ezekiel to get a clay tablet and write out on it, draw a portrayal of a battle, of an attack against Israel on it, showing the judgment that God was bringing upon them. And what of this, what we just read this morning in Ezekiel chapter 37, where God gave two different things, two different symbolic portrayals of the work that he was doing, bringing life to old dead bones, and then having Joshua to take up two sticks and write on them the tribes of Judah and Israel and say they will be one nation and have one king and prophesy about that king being the Lord Jesus Christ. This is how the Lord speaks to his people. He speaks to them often in symbols and pictures. And that's what he does to us here in the Lord's Supper. He speaks to us by giving us symbols. God uses many means to proclaim His truth of salvation. And the Lord's Supper is another means that He uses for that. He uses creation. He uses the preached word. He uses symbolic portrayals. He uses His Son Jesus Christ in His person. And He uses you, the church, to proclaim His salvation to His people. Not just me, the preacher, but you, the church. You, His people. In verse 26 here in 1 Corinthians 11, we're going to see the Lord showing us the church's prophetic role in the Lord's Supper. And so what does that mean? That means that even as you come to eat and drink and to be blessed, to be fed and nourished and strengthened, you are doing something else as well. You, the church, are proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. You are actually acting as a church body, as a prophet, just like Jeremiah, just like Ezekiel, just like the apostles who are proclaiming the gospel. As you come to the Lord's table, you are actually doing something in the Lord's service, in ministering to each other and to others. And we're going to see this verse 26 divided up in three ways. First, the symbolic elements of the proclamation, as Paul says, this bread and this cup. Then secondly, the activity of the proclamation, which is eating and drinking. And then thirdly, the certainty of the proclamation, which is that Jesus will return. All three of these things are here in verse 26. Let's read it again. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till He comes. So let's first look at the symbolic elements of the proclamation. This bread and this cup. Well, the word proclamation here, it means to make something known by way of announcement or celebration. And in the Lord's Supper, we do both. Some within the church do not think that it must be bread and wine, the fruit of the vine. I've heard people say that they could do this with a potato chip and lemonade. But that's not true. The Lord gave us the standard for what this should be, and it should be bread and the fruit of the vine. The Scripture tells us this, and it also tells us or demonstrates to us that there is no magic in these elements. They do not turn to human flesh and human blood. They are symbolic as we hold them, as we drink them, and as we eat them. They're symbolic, but they represent real things. And so there is a reality in them, even though they are symbolic. The Lord's Supper is a carryover from the Passover in the sense that it had its foundation in the Passover feast. And it was just after the Passover feast, you know, that Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. And when He did this, He used elements from that Passover meal and put new meaning into it. And we read that in Matthew 26. They did not just eat and drink anything. They ate bread and they drank wine, the fruit of the vine. The bread, as Jesus said, "This is my body broken for you." It represented His broken body that He gave it to all His disciples and portrayed His giving of His body and sacrifice for all the church. And the fruit of the vine and the cup represented His blood of the new covenant. This new covenant that we even spoke about in Ezekiel. It's also spoken about in Jeremiah chapter 31, verse 31, where the Lord said, "Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in that day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt, my covenant which they broke, although I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts, and I will be their God, and they shall be my people. No more shall every man teach his neighbor and every man his brother, saying, 'Know the Lord,' for they all shall know me, from the least of them to the greatest of them, says the Lord. For I will forgive their iniquity, and their sins I will remember no more." When Jesus instituted the Lord's Supper. This is that new covenant that he was speaking of. This is the new covenant in the blood of Jesus Christ. It is a new covenant that is being represented here today in these elements. And the wine that we drink represents the blood of the Lamb that God has provided for the new covenant. A blood that is accepted by God so that he can forgive our iniquity and remember our sins no more. Jesus said, "This is the blood of the new covenant, which is shed for the remission of sins." This is the covenant that God was talking about and is being fulfilled in the Lord Jesus Christ. And so the elements themselves, the bread and the wine, do absolutely represent this new covenant. And they in and of themselves, in their representation, are in a sense making a proclamation. Even as we look at them, what are we called to remember? The broken body of the Lord Jesus Christ and the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. So these symbolic elements, they in themselves make a proclamation to us. But you know what? If we just set them before us here, if we just looked at them, yes, we could look at them and we could remember the Lord Jesus Christ. But God calls us to more. God calls us more than just to look and see. He calls us to eat and drink. And in verse 26 here in 1 Corinthians 11, this is what is being said is the means whereby we do proclaim the Lord's death. It is really clear. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. It does not say, for as often as you look at it, for as often as you see it, there's actual an action taking place that is the proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. And so you're eating and drinking those elements that proclaim the Lord's death. You're eating and drinking are that activity of proclamation. Yes, when we come to the Lord's table, we are seeking to be blessed. We are seeking to be nourished. We are seeking to be strengthened for the days ahead, to walk by faith. We are seeking the Lord by His Holy Spirit to minister all the graces to us that are in the Lord's Supper. But there is more. There is something we are called to do, and that is this activity of proclamation. And it's not an activity of individual proclamation either. For in verse 26, where he says and uses the words "you," we don't see that in our language. But here he says, "for as often as you," that "you" is plural, and it's talking about all those who come to the table. All those who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ and sit at the Lord's table, you as a church are the ones making this proclamation. It is the prophetic role of the church to proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. And the Bible says that we do that when we eat and when we drink. And today, Lord willing, we will make that proclamation of the Lord's death until he comes. And so we as a church are making this proclamation. And it is a message that we need to hear. Is a message that we need to proclaim. And the message is the Lamb of God has died and all that he has accomplished in his death is being remembered here. That's what we're proclaiming. That's what we are proclaiming to one another. The covenant promise to put his Spirit in us and to dwell with us forever is fulfilled. And that's what's being proclaimed here. When you eat and drink, you in a sense are in reality preaching the good news. When you eat and drink this cup and this bread, you are making a proclamation. Well, you might ask then, who is hearing the proclamation? Who's hearing it? Well, first, it is the Lord who hears it. It is the Lord who sees His people coming and renewing their covenant and making a proclamation to Him that what they're seeing before us here in these symbolic elements, we believe truly represent what Jesus Christ did on the cross. And so it is our proclamation to the Lord, I believe. This is my testimony. But I believe that what You, Lord, have done is represented here in the bread and the wine. The Lord's table is your answer to the Lord as a result of Him calling you to salvation. The Lord says in Isaiah 55, verses 1 to 4, Ho, everyone who thirsts, come to the waters, and you who have no money, come, buy and eat. Yes, come, buy wine and milk without money and without price. Why do you spend money for what is not bread, and your wages for what does not satisfy? Listen carefully to me, and eat what is good, and let your soul delight itself in abundance. Incline your ear, and come to me. Hear, and your soul shall live, and I will make an everlasting covenant with you. The sure mercies of David. The Lord says, come to this table. And when you come to the Lord's table, you are proclaiming, I am here to buy wine and milk, but I have no money. I am here testifying that what the Lord is offering satisfies my soul. I am here testifying that what the Lord puts before me here, I believe and trust that this represents what was needed for my soul's salvation and for the forgiveness of my sin. And so you are proclaiming and answering this call from the Lord to come. You are proclaiming to the Lord that you are trusting in what He has provided. That's the first proclamation you make when you eat and when you drink. Remembering, proclaiming the Lord's death till He comes. Secondly, we are proclaiming this good news. We are proclaiming the Lord's death to ourselves again and again. And we know the frailty of our lives. We know how we often forget God's word. We know how we are often distracted. We also know how we have an enemy, the devil, who seeks to get us off track, who seeks us to get us not to look at Jesus. And this is God's answer to that. Come and see Jesus in these elements. Come and be reminded of His death. And we need that. We need to be reminded. And so we are proclaiming, as we sit at this table, as we sit here together as a family of God, we are proclaiming to one another, the Lord died, and the Lord is coming. So we proclaim to the Lord our testimony of faith. We proclaim to one another that we are believing in what God has provided for our soul's salvation. And you need to hear it. You need to hear it. And I need to hear it. We need to see it over and over again and be reminded for faith's sake that the Lord Jesus Christ died and is coming again. As we sit here together around this table, we are proclaiming the death of Christ has been applied to us as His people. And we are united to each other in the death of Christ. And that's one of the things that we can meditate upon even today and even this afternoon on the rest of your Lord's Day is what does it mean that I'm proclaiming the death of Christ? Just that Jesus died? Or is there so much more wrapped up in the death of Christ? In that death is that new covenant. In that death is that payment for sin. In that death is God's acceptance of you just as He accepted His Son. And in that death is that you are united to Christ and united to each other. Listen to what Romans chapter 6 says that we are proclaiming. Listen as I read. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Certainly not. How shall we who died to sin live any longer in it? Or do you not know that as many of us were baptized into Christ Jesus, were baptized into His death? Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. You see, when we come here and we partake of the Lord's Supper and we remember his death, we are reminded that we are united to him in that death, and that we are reminded that just as he was raised to new life, we are also raised to new life. Because we have been united to him in the likeness of his death, and this shall also be in the likeness of his resurrection. And just as Jesus was raised from the dead to new life, as we look at these elements and we say, this reminds me of the death of Christ. It reminds me of all that's connected to that death. And I'm connected to that death. And I'm united to that death. And I'm connected to that resurrection. And I'm united to that resurrection so that I can walk in newness of life. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin, for he who has died has been freed from sin. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ has been raised from the dead, dies no more. Death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. When we sit here at this table and we remember the death of Jesus Christ, we are also remembering what that death means to us. Death to us, death to our old man, and new life for us. That we're free from sin because of the death of Jesus. And we're free to walk in newness of life because of the death of Jesus Christ. That should be what we're proclaiming and reminding of ourselves as we preach to one another, as we sit at this table. It is a proclamation to each other that we make in proclaiming the death of Jesus until he comes again. Thirdly, in this proclamation that we make in eating and drinking this cup is we are testifying to those who do not come to the table. Oftentimes, there are those in the church meeting when we have the Lord's Supper who do not come to the table, and you coming as a church is a proclamation to them of Christ's death, to your children, to others who have yet to confess Christ. The table is the place where you take action to proclaim Christ and his death. And while these elements are symbolic, the eating and drinking of them is real. In that eating and in that drinking, you are making a proclamation. You are proclaiming the good news to others who are here and observing. Day by day, your little children, each time we do this, see what you're doing. Just like in the Old Testament, when God gave them signs and symbols, when God gave them the Passover. And God said, and when your children ask, tell them this. What do these things mean? And if they don't ask, still tell them. Tell them what these things mean. And little by little, as they watch and they see, they are hearing the good news proclaimed at this table. As you, the church, come and proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. That's what's going on in the eating and drinking of the bread and the wine. The bread and the wine are here as the symbolic elements. But it is in the eating and drinking that the proclamation is made. It is in your participation that you are proclaiming the good news, testifying of it to the Lord, to yourself, to the church, and to others. You're also testifying to the certainty of this message proclaimed. Jesus did die and is coming again. In this statement here in verse 26, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. There is a certainty here that Paul is talking about. It is an assumed certainty that he's assuming that you as believers and the people that he's writing to here believe in that certain return of Jesus Christ coming again. So what are we proclaiming here at the Lord's table? It is the good news that Jesus has died, but yet he's not dead. He has died, but he's not dead because he's coming again. And we're coming back again to culminate all the work and promises that God has made to his people. And so your proclamation here of eating and drinking is not just that he has died, but that he is resurrected. And that there is a time when he is coming back again. You have the role of contributing to the gladness and the encouragement of Christ's church every time you come to the table. Because doesn't it encourage you to be reminded of what Jesus did and what he's going to do? Those two things together are our hope. They are connected, and one without the other would cause it all to fall apart. As Paul said in Corinthians as well, that we are the worst of all men to be most pitied if there's not a resurrection. And so the resurrection of Jesus Christ is connected to these words, till he comes again. And it is also your resurrection that is connected to his resurrection. That's your proclamation. The certainty of Jesus coming again is bound up in the certainty that he did rise from the dead. And you have that role. And that is what you're doing when by faith you partake of these elements. It is what you are doing. And what is stated here in verse 26 is not so much as a command, you need to do this. It's stated as, this is what you're doing. You are proclaiming the death of Christ and his return. 1 Corinthians 15, verse 20 makes this clear, that he is coming again. Verse 20 tells us, but now Christ is risen from the dead and has become the first fruits of those who have fallen asleep. For since by man came death, by man also came the resurrection of the dead. For as in Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive, but each one in his own order. Christ, the first fruits. Afterward, those who are Christ at his coming. See the connection there between this passage, the resurrection of Christ, and his coming. And what you are doing is you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Then comes the end when he delivers the kingdom to God the Father, when he puts an end to all rule and all authority and power, for he must reign till he has put all enemies under his feet. The last enemy that will be destroyed is death, for he has put all things under his feet. But when he says all things are put under him, it is evident that he who put all things under him is accepted. And now when all things are made subject to him, then the Son himself will also be subject to him who put all things under him, that God may be all in all. When you eat and when you drink, you are proclaiming Jesus is coming again. You're proclaiming that to each other and to those who watch, and you're proclaiming that to the world as well. You're proclaiming that you believe in a resurrection. You believe that you are united to Christ's death, that you have died, and you are united to his resurrection, that you will be resurrected as well. That's what we're doing here. Yes, we are seeking the Lord's nourishment, the Lord's strength. We are being reminded of his death, but we are also proclaiming that death. And so we keep coming to the Lord's table, until we come to the wedding feast of the Lamb, until he comes and sets up that new table, that wedding feast of the Lamb, where all God's people come and sit there with their groom. Revelation 19, verses 6 to 9 tells us this. And I heard, as it were, the voice of a great multitude, as a sound of many waters, and as a sound of mighty thundering, saying, Hallelujah! For the Lord God omnipotent reigns. Let us be glad and rejoice and give him glory, for the marriage of the Lamb has come, and his wife has made herself ready. And to her it was granted to be arrayed in fine linen, clean and bright, for the fine linen is the righteous acts of the saints. Then he said to me, write, blessed are those who are called to the marriage supper of the Lamb. And he said to me, these are the true sayings of God. Brothers and sisters, you who belong to the Lord Jesus Christ by faith, you have a prophetic role in proclaiming the Lord Jesus Christ's death and his return. And you do this as you eat and as you drink at this table. That is your calling. That is what God is doing through you, testifying to himself, testifying to you, and testifying to the world that the Lord Jesus Christ has died and is coming again. May God be pleased to use us as prophets, as a church, in our prophetic role in the Lord's Supper. I want to come now to a time where we prepare ourselves and for coming to the table, and also for fencing the table, as we call it. Sometimes I like that term, sometimes I don't. But really, it's a shepherding act. It is a means by where God is protecting the church and protecting his sacrament and protecting the people who might, in an errant way, come to the Lord's table in a way that they shouldn't. So the fencing of the table prevents those who come who shouldn't, but there's also a gate in that fence which calls people to come to the table. So please hear the instructions of the Lord. Excuse me. The scriptural basis for the sacraments of the Lord's Supper is found in the Gospels, in Matthew 26, Mark 14, and Luke 22. And Paul uses a summary of these words as he delivers instructions to the church. We just read these here in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, verses 23 to 26. I'm going to read them again. For I received from the Lord that which I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, take, eat, this is my body which is broken for you. To do this in remembrance of me. In the same manner, he also took the cup after supper, saying, this cup is the new covenant in my blood. This do as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you proclaim the Lord's death till he comes. Well, as we see here, the Lord's Supper is an ordinance instituted by our Lord Jesus Christ. And it is to be observed until he comes again. We are commanded to do that in remembrance of the sacrifice of himself, which he offered upon the cross. As I've mentioned before and even today, the physical elements of the bread and the wine represent the body and blood of our Savior and are received by true believers as signs and seals of all the benefits of his sacrifice. The supper signifies and seals, as Jesus said, the remission of sins and nourishes our souls to grow in Christ and is a bond and pledge of our union and communion with him and with each other as members of his body. So as we come to the Lord's table, even in the coming, we are saying, I am a part of the body of Christ. I am a member of his church. So it assures us that God is faithful to fulfill the promises of the covenant of grace. And even as we come, this is a covenant renewal. You should be thinking, I am renewing my covenant with God to trust and believe and obey him and be grateful for his salvation. Christ himself is present by his Spirit in the supper to make it truly a means of grace to those who receive it in faith. Those who partake of the supper do so in thankful remembrance that the body of Christ was given. His blood was shed for God's people. They rejoice in hope as they anticipate the completion of their redemption in that day when Christ will come and they share in the marriage supper of the Lamb. That is who should be coming, those who believe these things and those who have prepared themselves to come, those who are members of the church. In God's care for us, He does warn us not to come to the table in an unworthy manner. In 1 Corinthians 11:27, the Word of God says, "Therefore, whoever eats this bread or drinks this cup of the Lord in an unworthy manner will be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord." And so we are called to examine ourselves. We are called to come in a worthy manner, though we in and of ourselves are unworthy. Unworthy because of our sin. But we can go before the Lord, repent of our sin, and come in a worthy manner, as frail and weak as it might be. In doing so, the Lord receives us as we examine ourselves and come before Him as humble, repentant sinners. So it is the duty of the church to warn you that if you do not trust in the Lord Jesus Christ for your salvation, or if you are living an ungodly, disobedient life and have not repented, you should not partake of the Lord's Supper, lest you eat and drink condemnation to yourself. The Lord's Supper is for repenting and believing sinners who, after examining themselves and seeking reconciliation with their brothers, if need be, and with the Lord, come confessing Christ as your Savior. And this warning is not designed to keep the humble and contrite away from the Lord's Supper. It's just the opposite. Like I said, there is a gate in this fence, and that gate is the Lord Jesus Christ. And the supper is a means of grace offered to sustain weak pilgrims. You are those weak pilgrims. I am that weak pilgrim in our walk of faith with the Lord Jesus Christ. We who come to partake of the symbols of Christ's body and blood come as sinners whose only hope is the Lord Jesus Christ. And so we can come, and we do come, however weak, in a worthy manner, if we recognize that in ourselves we are unworthy sinners in need of a Savior. If we discern His body was given for our sins, if we hunger and thirst after Christ and giving thanks for His grace, trusting in His work, feeding on Him by faith, and renewing our covenant with Him as His people, we can come to the Lord's table. We come humbly, but we can come joyfully, knowing that His death means the forgiveness of our sins, and that we have peace with God because of His death. So if you are prepared to come in this way, then hear from God's Word a gracious invitation. Revelation 22, verse 17. And the Spirit and the Bride say, "Come." Let him who hears say, "Come." And let him who thirsts, come. Whoever desires, let him take the water of life freely. So you're invited to come. If you have prepared yourself, if you have examined yourself, and you are a member of Christ's body and a member of a local church and have spoken to the elders about this, then you are invited to come and sit at the Lord's table and proclaim His death till He comes. Let's take our psalters and sing Psalm 116C.